This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
It is Long Shots, golf betting podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. I am Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds alongside as we come in on the fall season here, guys. Not going to take up too much of your time, but did want to drop in considering some big names are going to be out on the course this week as we head into the Ryder Cup, getting some final preparation in. So Wes will give some thoughts on the BMW. We got the Pro Corps going over here, stateside up in Napa. And again, of course, Ryder Cup here coming up shortly. So those guys all trying to get honed in and tuned in with all of that. And Wes, people, if you are recording this right now, we just looked it up. Tonight, they will be teeing off over at the BMW. So if you want anything, listen to what Wes has to say right now and go get those into your account over there. Of course, a write-up over at VSiN.com as well. But Wes, what are we looking at over the BMW?
Yeah, BMW PGA Championship, Matt, at Wentworth. This is actually a flagship event on the old European and now DP World Tour. 11 of the 12 European Ryder Cuppers are going to be playing this week. Sepp Straka, childbirth, as same with Xander Schauffele on the American side. So they are not in action this week. But 11 of the 12, and was looking at the tee times about right before 2 a.m. Eastern time, so 11 Pacific is when they will get started, and was looking at some of the pairings because all these guys are playing together, and we'll talk about that for the Pro Corps as well. Like, you're seeing Justin Rose and Tommy Fleetwood paired together. You're seeing Ludwig Aubert and Matt Fitzpatrick paired together. Rory McIlroy is with John Rahm and Shane Lowry. Victor Hovland is with Rasmus Højgaard. Robert McIntyre, like I said, with Tyrrell Hatton. So that's what the Europeans have done over the years. They have paired these guys together. Maybe that's a tell on what we're going to see in a couple weeks at Bethpage Black. But a very loaded field, by the way, here in Europe this week. Of course, Rory, great win at the Irish Open, his home open, where he had that long eagle putt just to get into a playoff and then beat Joachim Lagergren on the third hole at the K Club to win his home open. So Rahm, Fleetwood, Hatton, Fitzpatrick, Hovland, McIntyre, all the Ryder Cuppers are here, but also some other big names. Joaquin Neiman is in this field this week. Aaron Rye is in this field. Corey Connors, Hideki Matsuyama, Siwoo Kim, Adam Scott, Ryan Fox, Minwoo Lee, Brooks Koepka, Patrick Reed. List goes on and on. This is actually probably the better field of the two this week. So we are at Wentworth in Surrey, England, par 72, 72, 67. Billy Horschel, the defending champion, by the way, a two-time winner of this event, 2021 and 2024. So I went light. I'm going lighter on unit size anyway because of the fall schedule, and obviously we're in the crux of football season and getting into baseball, pennant races and whatnot, so not a lot of time. But a few that I did bet, I bet Matt Fitzpatrick at 22-1. The short game is, I think, back to the elite status, fourth in putting, seventh in scrambling on the DP World Tour, six top tens the last eight starts. Englishman obviously would love to win this event, as would Aaron Rye, who was a runner-up here 2 years ago, finished fourth last year, 25-1. Rye is one of those guys. I think all the selections on both Ryder Cup teams, both U.S. and Europe, were really cut and dry. But Rye was certainly a guy that was probably in consideration at some point. So maybe a little motivation for him at a course he likes. Shane Lowry, former winner here, 28-1, actually won here 3 years ago. He's watched Rory win the Masters, the Players, and then last week at his home open, he saw his buddy Tommy Fleetwood finally win on the PGA Tour at the Tour Championship. This is kind of like this me time here for Shane Lowry. It is time for him to get a win, and I think he can this week. And then one guy that's never played this event, but boy, I like the way he finished at the Tour Championship with rounds of 67, 67, and 62, finishing fourth. Corey Connors, who has no Ryder Cup motivation because he is Canadian and not participating, makes his debut in the event. God, really good with the irons, and that's what you have to be here. So Corey Connors, I played. Also Jordan Smith at around 80-1, who very good DP World Tour mainstay player, and I think trying to get his card for the PGA Tour, trying to get in that top 10 of guys otherwise non-eligible, as is Spaniard Angel Ayora at 100-1. 20-year-old, he's a rookie. He's been playing great golf. He was fifth last week in Ireland. He was eighth 2 weeks ago at the European Masters in Switzerland, and then T13 at the British Masters 3 weeks ago. So a guy in good form at triple digits, I thought he was worth a stab.
Yeah, it is. Again, guys, that one going to be, we're coming to you here on Wednesday as opposed to Tuesday this week. So that one will be teeing off this evening. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, please go in, get those bets in if you want to head over and bet the BMW. Now, the Pro Corps is here stateside. This is going to be the best field this tournament will ever have in the history of this tournament up in Napa. So if you are, if you have any reason you want to get on a last minute flight up into the valley up there and go take in a couple of wineries, well, you can get some world-class golf as well as Scotty Scheffler, Russell Henley, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, JJ Spaun, Cam Young, Mav McNealy, Sam Burns, Ben Griffin, Colin Morikawa, all there, but add in Harris Ingles, Jacques Batia, Davis Thompson, Max Grazerman. So we've got some real class players up there. Max Homa trying to find his game. He's there as well. So Wes, what are we looking at up there at this resort course in Napa?
Yeah, I'll start with what is of note that you mentioned, Matt, is that pretty much the entire Ryder Cup team is here. Bryson obviously cannot play as he's a member of LIV Golf, but I believe he was there on the grounds for the team dinner that they were having on Tuesday night. So you see some of the pairings that got released. Keegan Bradley, by the way, is there too. He is not playing the event, but he is on the ground. So you have Scottie Scheffler and Russell Henley paired in this event, and they played together at the President's Cup, so it would not shock me to see them as a Ryder Cup duo. By the way, they are playing with Webb Simpson as their third. Webb Simpson, one of Keegan Bradley's vice captains. And then you have another pairing, Cam Young, Justin Thomas, and Ben Griffin are grouped together. Colin Morikawa, Sam Burns, and JJ Spaun are grouped together. And then the fourth group, and they're all like right in a row in the afternoon session on Thursday, which means they'll play Friday morning. Harris English, Patrick Cantlay, Gary Woodland, who is also another vice captain for Keegan Bradley, paired together for that final tee time. You think that that's probably some tells of who are going to play together. Like Schauffele not playing this week because just gave birth. So Cantlay and Schauffele, you would think they've been their best friends and they've been together for so many Ryder and President's Cups that they're going to play together maybe in the foursome sessions. And then maybe Cantlay's with like Sam Burns or somebody in the four ball and Bryson is with Harris Inglis. So certainly that makes sense, but you know, there's still some motivation here. Meanwhile, there is a golf tournament, even though we're talking about Ryder Cup tune-ups. And you have some guys that want to win, and you mentioned some of the guys that are playing that were maybe near misses from the Ryder Cup team that perhaps were in consideration, like Mav McNealy, like Akshay Batia. They are also in this field. You have guys too that are motivated because this is now the FedEx Cup fall. So you want to be in that top 51 to 100 ranking because that guarantees you tour cards. Even if you're not in the elevated events to start the year, if you're outside the top 100, they changed it a little bit. You only get conditional status. And some even, I think, have to go to the Q school on the Corn Ferry. So, you know, best field that they've had here at the Silverado Ranch in Napa, par 72, 71, 38. Bent Poa, ryegrass fairways, bent Poa greens. So not really a lot of hazards that really trick you here necessarily. So, you know, pretty scoreable. I would expect 20 under is going to be the winner. It has been two of the last 3 years. There's only two water hazards and 53 bunkers. So you have some elevation changes and some rolling terrain, but really not a lot of challenge here at this resort.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I guess the challenge here is the fairways are a little bit narrow, but I mean, outside of that, these dudes should be able to have their way with this course, which is why, Wes, we see the odds attached to the all of the names that we mentioned. All of the Ryder Cuppers are all at the top of the odds board as well, starting with Scottie Scheffler, who's just a little bit over 2-1 to win this thing. Then you get in that kind of like 16-ish range there on Russell Henley, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, and then you get into the 20s where it was Spaun and Young and Mav McNealy, Sam Burns, and stuff like that. And I guess I will pose this question to you just right off the top, and we'll get to both of the guys we ended up ultimately pulling the trigger on. But if someone's swooping in and they want to pay attention to this tournament this weekend, despite the fact that there's college football in the NFL, how do we convince them that it's not going to be one of the guys that is playing for, you know, to tune up to head into the Ryder Cup, something that means probably more to them than everything except for like major championships?
Yeah, it certainly is tough to do so. Now, a couple of the Ryder Cuppers, by the way, have played here at least sporadically, like Justin Thomas. He's got two top fives here the last two times he has played. I think Cantlay has played here before. A couple of these guys like Scotty, I don't believe has ever played this event. JJ Spahn plays it every year. So he's somebody that may stand out to some people. I've seen him tipped a little bit, but you know, you're always motivated, right, Matt? I think to win, but it is a little bit secondary. I think this week, because this is Ryder Cup prep, because that was a big thing last time in Rome when these guys played the FedEx Cup playoffs and then they didn't play at all. And until they went over there. Meanwhile, the guys on the DP, they're playing whether it's the Irish Open or the BMW PGA or the Open de France or whatever event was before that. They were, I think, more in tune. They were, you know, because they played those FedEx Cup playoffs too, and then they kept playing. And I think you saw that layoff really work against the Americans. So that's why you're seeing them here this week. And you don't want to discount the rest of the field necessarily. And I did not go very heavy on Ryder Cuppers. I think I only played one on my card this week because guys are motivated. Guys are like, man, we got to get points. We got to get to secure our card and, you know, try to get ourselves up in the world rankings. So you got a lot of other motivated guys here this week.
Yeah. And the other thing too, and I'll have to, you know, guys, the information really wouldn't come out until after today anyway. So if anything interesting does come out, you can catch me over on the Twitter machine. But Wes, you know, this is also where people start to tinker a little bit too in this series. I know that Titleist is releasing a new left dash, Pro V1X, which has been a special ball that they released way back in like 2017, 2018 that was for a while there only available to pro players. Then it hit the market for retail, and they hadn't updated that ball, you know, in 7-8 years. And they're actually putting a new model of the Left Dash Pro V1X, and it's debuting here at this tournament. So it didn't say which players are using it or which ones are trying it out or all of that. But again, like, this is kind of that season too. I know Rico Hoey is trying a long putter this week at the tournament and all of that. So like these dudes also have the ability to mess with a little bit their current setup and what they might want to try to take into the actual season once the calendar turns. And so again, that's also something at play in this tournament with some of these dudes. And so I'm intrigued to see any of that stuff, and maybe that's stuff we can take with us a little bit later, Wes, right? Like maybe like as we head into the real regular season that, you know, oh, this guy switched to this or this guy's doing this. And, you know, over the fall swing, it actually worked out for him. So maybe that's something we can take into our handicapping in the regular season.
That's a very good point, actually, because this is the time where you're getting maybe some professionals test some things out as well, not only with the balls, but with clubs and, you know, different manufacturers, because of course the PGA show is in Orlando. Next January, I believe it usually is in, I think the third or fourth week of January. So that's when all the manufacturers are going to release their new lines, and they're going to have, okay, you know, this player X is now playing with these new irons or these new wedges or this new driver. So that's how they advertise that. So this is around the time where you might do a little bit of tinkering in terms of testing with some clubs. If guys have like long-term contracts, or it's like, I'm with Callaway, but I'm going to play this new club and just try it out, you know, even though I'm not switching manufacturers. So that's what you're going to see a lot of them do, I think, over the next couple months here.
Wes, I didn't go too deep into modeling. I basically did, I mean, for lack of a better term, it's like a driver wedge model, essentially, because it's a short course. Really, the only defense, you know, there are only two water holes. There's only 54 bunkers. Like the defense is kind of that how narrow the fairway is, but it's short enough that if you get it down there anyway, it's not going to matter if you're in the rough. It's only 3-inch rough and all that. So, I mean, for lack of a better term, I am very driver heavy. I'm very wedge heavy. And that's basically how the model was for me.
Same for me. I did play a little bit more around the green. Actually, around the green is probably the most tricky of anything, because you got the runoffs and you got some tricky chips and the rare bunkers that are on this course at the Silverado Resort surround the putting surfaces, and they're a little bit deep. So I think you got to scramble a little bit decent here, but I did use distance as well. Strokes gained par five, birdie or better, because 20 under or better has won here three of the last 5 years. So you want to look at that. If you want to do putting, you could do bent POA. There is some bumpiness in this POA because it is in California, like we see in Pebble Beach or we see at Torrey Pines. So it's not the POA that you see in the rest of the country. And then you're right, the wedge buckets anywhere 75 to 100, 100 to 125, 125 to 150. I think that's the way to go. I think it's a pretty simple, straightforward model if you want to do that this week.
Not a heavy card for me. Don't know about you. What did you end up with?
Yeah, the one Ryder Cupper I did play, I played Patrick Cantlay, 18-1. It's now been a full 3 years since the guy has won, but best finish in 2 years. Last time out, runner-up at the Tour Championship, led the field on approach. I think he started to maybe find something later in the year, and I know we've been through this before with Cantlay, but he's really performed well on correlated courses. I think you have some correlation with like Riviera, with TPC River Highlands, with Pebble Beach. Really good finishes in all those events. So can't lay it 18-1. And then another guy, because I mentioned Aaron Rye in terms of the European team. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the equivalent of that is Maverick McNealy at 28-1 here, because even though the selections were not a surprise, the captain's picks, they were cut and dry. I think McNealy was in the mix for part of this year, like where you really saw, hey, this guy's probably going to be on the Ryder Cup team or certainly has a chance. Didn't win this year, almost won at the Genesis, Ludwig Aubert. I know you hit that one, ended up winning that. Two other thirds. I think he's maybe got a little motivation. He finished runner-up here in 2021, obviously grew up in the Bay Area, Stanford grad, family lives at Pebble Beach. So, you know, not too far away. I think he uses that as motivation. So Matt McNealy, 28-1. And then one that I did not get the best number because it looks like he is going to be very popular this week. We are going with the number one world-ranked amateur, and that is Jackson Koivun at 55-1, currently a junior at Auburn. By the way, he was on the U.S. team that won at the Walker Cup last weekend, where they really crushed Great Britain and Ireland over there at Cypress Point. He's played on the PGA Tour a few times this summer, T5 at the Wyndham, T6 at the ISCO, T11 at the John Deere. So I know step up in class and better players in this field, but I think he could go well. He is a very talented young man. And then a couple others that I played, triple digit guys, we'll go quick here. Matt McCarty, who this time last year got the Battlefield promotion from the Corn Ferry and then immediately won at the Black Desert in Utah. 82nd in the FedEx Cup standing. So one more really good finish probably locks in his card for next year. And then another Matt Kuchar, Kuch at 100-1. Now 47 years of age, he is 127th. So he needs a couple good finishes to get in that top 100. And he's played well here. 13th, 7th, and 12th the last 3 years at Silverado, so I think he could go well. And then another guy in really good form, Sami Valimaki, the man from Finland, just a little over 100-1. He's 87th in the standings. He didn't make the FedEx Cup playoffs, but he didn't rest up, you know, no rest for the wicked here. He went to the DP World Tour, T2 at Switzerland at the European Masters, T8th in Denmark for the Danish Championship. So Sami Valimaki. And then I didn't play it in the column, but I did end up betting it. Taylor Montgomery, 225-1, who is a Las Vegas resident but plays well in California. Very good putter. I took a shot very small on Taylor Montgomery at 2.25.
So only three outrights for me, and I will say – as far as the model goes, obviously Scottie Scheffler is the top of them. I mean, like it's in, you know, if Scottie wants to win this tournament, if he's not out there, like again, trying to hone in on something or something like that, then if he doesn't win, he's going to be in the top three. And, but it's just 2-1, Wes. It's just, you know, we can't make any money. You know, we can't make any money betting anybody 2-1. So just wanted to put that out there. He at the top of the model by a long shot. Then became my first decision because since I weighted heavily, basically you like wedge play and driver and so that. So you get Justin Thomas way out very well, though he's kind of been hit and miss. He's right there with Russell Henley in the model, but then they're both sitting there at kind of like 15-16-1. Then right behind them there was Akshay Bhatia, and he's way out at 35-1. And so, Wes, this was basically just a numbers decision that I ended up making, which is how much more win equity do I really put in Justin Thomas and Russell Henley over Akshay on a course like this where they don't have a real obvious edge over him? And so, because I'm getting double the price, actually a little bit more than double the number, I went ahead with Batia because, again, it is Scheffler, JT, Russell Henley, then slips in, actually, your Patrick Cantlay, and then fifth in the model is Akshay. So it's kind of like they're all jumbled right there. Scotty's above them by a mile, so it's really just the four of them all jumbled together, and I'm getting double the price of one of those guys than I am the other two. So the model loves JT. The model does love Russell Henley as well, but it likes Akshay, and I'm getting double the number, so that's why I went with him.
Yeah, I almost bet Akshay as well, and I know he might be very popular this week, but we've seen Max Homa very popular here before and win, and actually he's won twice. So Akshay makes a lot of sense, and that's a guy that's kind of just right the level below in the market, along with McNeely from the Ryder Cup guys. And Akshay, I think, was kind of a guy that was a little bit in the mix for a while. And I don't want to underestimate that or undersell that I think you've got some motivation for these guys that were just right below. It's like, oh yeah, you know, I can show them, and I'm going to make that team next year. I'm at least going to make the President's Cup team. So what's the best way to do it is to start winning.
Yep. And so for me, past that, if I'm going to skip out on the short shots, who are obviously the class players that my model loves as well and all of that, then I'm like, okay, if I bypass them, then I probably just need to go to bombs that might just get super hot for the week and all that. So I took my kind of mid-range player in Akshay, just rounding out with like a couple of bombs that the model liked. Mark Hubbard and Rico Hoey, both of these guys really popped well in the model that I was going for. I mentioned Hoey's going to be trying. Wes, if you go back, like if Rico Hoey could putt, we might be talking about a dude that, like, I don't know how many wins he would have, but we might be talking about a dude that, like, was almost like top 10 Tommy there, you know, for a long time, where he was just like not really winning, but just consistently finding himself inside the, you know, the top 20, top 15, top 10s over and over and over again. The problem was he couldn't putt it in the ocean. Well, like I said, he's trying out the long putter this week. He understood what he needs to work on. Obviously, he gets the same statistics that we get. So somebody came to him and said, dude, if you could just freaking putt, you'd probably be way higher up in all of this stuff. So I'll buy into that all the rest of the game is good. He just can't putt. And so maybe he found something here in one of these long putters. So same deal with Mark Hubbard, just a guy that was way out at 85-1, but modeled really well for me. And so it's like, if I'm going to skip all the good, the class players, then let me go with one of these outliers that the model likes for what we like at this course. And so that happened to be Mark Hubbard and Rico Hoey this week.
To add some context to what you were saying about Rico Hoey, let's look at these rankings really quickly. Number one in total driving on the PGA Tour. Number one in greens and regulation. Number two, strokes gained off the tee. Number 16, approach. Only Scottie Scheffler and Colin Morikawa rank ahead of him for strokes gained tee to green. And what you talked about, if he could putt, dead last in strokes gained putting on the PGA Tour this year. Man, you know, just average. Like, you don't have to make them all, just make a couple. And I know you've bet Rico Hoey a couple times. I've been close with him a couple times as well. Yeah, he's right up there. So maybe the long putter will work. We've seen those narratives happen on the PGA Tour before. Some guys switch to blades, or some guys switch to the mallet, or whatever it is. So we'll see if that works this week. You might as well try something different, because what you were doing wasn't working. So.
I was about to say, Wes, it can't be worse.
No.
Because if you're last, there's nowhere to go.
Yes.
You can only go up. So it can't be worse. So I'll lean on the rest of the game, and hopefully maybe, you know, even if it's just confidence, I mean, hell, like, sometimes it's just mental with some of these dudes, and even if it's just confidence, I'll go with that. So that's where me, just short card for me, like I said, Akshay, Mark Hubbard, Rico Hoey. And just for everyone, if you're making DFS lineups and all that, yes, obviously Scotty's number one in the model. Model loves JT, model loves Russell Henley, model loves Patrick Cantlay. These are all dudes that are going to be up there, but they're all super expensive. So you have to figure out a strategy if you want to use them for any of that. As always, Wes's article is over on VSiN.com. So go in, you can take in all of the great words that he's putting together. And if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button. It does help us climb the ratings. It does help more people find this podcast. So we appreciate all of your support there as well. For Wes, I am Matt. Good luck on all your fall golf bets.